everyone. As I walked in, that song was actually just towards the end, and I just asked Sandeep just to play it again. It's a song with such simple words, but so motivational and so inspiring, and such a great reminder that we ought to live to worship Father God Almighty. And this morning, I want to greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our brother, our intercessor, and I want to say good morning. This morning, I want to share with you a message that has been on my heart. I suppose not so much on my heart as much as it's been an experience of late. I know some of you might have noticed by now that I don't look like the people around here. Yeah. I'm not Asian, I'm not Chinese, I'm not from Southeast Asia. As a matter of fact, I've got a bit of a darker skin. I come from Africa. And sometimes when you function as an individual within an environment that is not your own, and when you stand out, it is sometimes difficult, you know? It's sometimes difficult to be yourself. I'm a very outspoken person. I'm a very expressive person. I'm a very passionate person, I'd like to believe. Sometimes overly so, but I suppose who's perfect, you know? We can only strive like Christ Jesus. Knowing that I'm not perfect, I try to live who I am as best as I can and as passionate as I can. And sometimes I step on people's toes. But sometimes I also do the right thing. Sometimes I also do what is required, what is necessary. And so that's just, you know, the premise just to keep in the back of your mind for the message for this morning. So the title for this morning's message is Be Sure, Do Not Hesitate. And I'll be reading from the scriptures of 1 Kings 18:21 and Judges 18:9. Father God Almighty, we commit this morning to you, Lord, as every morning, Father God, as every day. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the gift of life. We thank you, Father God Almighty, for the gift of energy, Father God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that we are able to gather here in your house. Thank you that we are able to gather as brethren, Father God Almighty, just sitting and listening to your word. Father, I come with a word that I believe that you have deposited in my heart. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you speak through me and through the experience that I want to share, Father God Almighty. Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and earth this message in the hearts of the listener, Father God. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that through your Holy Spirit, you make of the message what you want to make of it. I submit myself, Father God Almighty, and I ask humbly, Lord God Almighty, take away my opinion, Father God, and take away where I want to drive home the point that Will wants to drive away, Father God, and give me the points that you, Father God Almighty, wants to drive home. I speak life in this message, Father God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, reading from Judges, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. I'm a supporter of Prophet Bobby Connor when he says, if you want to get into heaven, then you must read from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is just a lot more expressive for me, and that's why I like it. And reading from verse 9, Judges 18, verse 9 to 11. They said, "Arise, let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, fertile. Will you sit still and do nothing? Do not hesitate to go, to enter, to take possession of the land. When you enter, you will come to people feeling safe and secure with spacious land, widely extended on all sides. For God has given it in your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. Then from the tribal family of the Danites, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, 600 men armed with weapons of war set out." The crux of that scripture that I want to focus on is obviously, do not hesitate. And then we get to 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Elijah approached all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? The Lord is God. Follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people of Israel did not answer him so much as a word. So obviously, we can gather from that that the people of Israel were in hesitation. Oh, this is going to go so much better if I don't keep on minimizing my document here. Oh! So, let us just go through the situation, the setting, especially the one concerning Elijah. The point that I want to drive home, and I hope I'm able to make that through the scripture here, is that when God speaks, he invariably speaks in a way beyond our human comprehension. Many a day when God speaks, he asks of us, and he tells us something that is not something that comes from our intellect, that is not something that comes from what we can think of. God normally comes up with these, what we call crazy ideas, but it's not crazy, it's godly. And I want to make that point. Now, this situation with Elijah, it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." This was after there was a famine that Elijah declared, a famine that God said to him to declare, and Elijah declared this. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go into the land, to all the sources of water and to all the streams. Perhaps we may find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and do not have to kill some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way himself and Obadiah went another way himself. Like I said, when God speaks, he invariably speaks in a level beyond our comprehension. And it was Obadiah during the time of Jezebel's slaughter of the prophets that hid the prophets by their 50s in caves and he kept them alive. And now it was expected of him, of Obadiah, to go back to King Ahab and to go tell him that Prophet Elijah is alive. And the fear that was in Obadiah's heart was dealt with by God through the words of Elijah when he met up with Elijah. Elijah said to him, "Don't fear, this is the word of the Lord. Just go to the king and go tell this to him and he will do nothing to you." So obviously Obadiah at the time when he hid the prophets, he was the one who came with a message to King Ahab to tell King Ahab that all the prophets have died. Obviously he hid the other prophets and he said to and he also made mention to King Ahab that Elijah was no more. So Obadiah obviously feared for his life to come and tell the king now that Elijah was going to come and give him a message from the Lord. And yet he was the one that brought the message that Elijah's no more. In any case, fast forward what has happened in that situation. Obadiah went to the king and the king received the message without killing Obadiah. Now, in layman's terms, if it was me, like Obadiah, and thank the Lord that Elijah was there and he had an obedient heart so that he could follow the instruction and go do what he needed to do. But I don't know about you guys, maybe not you, but I know me, I would have been afraid. I would have been very afraid. I would not have wanted to go to King Ahab, especially considering what has happened under his rulership with Jezebel killing the prophets and all of that. I would not have wanted to go. But Obadiah was obedient. There was no hesitation with Obadiah. So just so that we can understand each other properly this morning, I thought, how about we get an understanding for the word of hesitation? What does the dictionary say about hesitation? Hesitation, it says as a verb, pause. It's an indecision before saying or doing something. Synonyms of hesitation is hanging back, wait, shilly-shally, dither, stall, temporize, be in two minds. It also means to be reluctant, to be unwilling, to be undisciplined, have misgivings about. Okay, so when one is reluctant, when one has got misgivings, then it means one does not want to take the instruction that was given or the statement that was made. You don't want to receive it. So that's what that means, but that's my understanding. But what does the word say about? Because it also says, the dictionary also says that hesitating means to be double-minded. So what does the word say about being double-minded in James 1 verse 8? It says, being a double-minded man means to be unstable in all his ways. We also know that Father promises us that he gives us a sound mind. And a sound mind means that we are stable in our thinking. It means that we are level-headed. It means that we are able to process what we hear and execute what we have heard. So why is it that human beings, we, maybe not you, but me, why do I hesitate? Primarily, according to research, they say people hesitate because they want to hesitate. So I hesitate because I want to hesitate. Contrary to common beliefs, those who hesitate often aren't the ones who really want to take a step in life, but they are the ones who want to remain where they are because that serves them their most important psychological goal, protecting their self-esteem. Comfortable with the here and now. So many a day, they say, the learned ones, the guys with the white coats and thick glasses, they say that we hesitate because we want to. They say we hesitate because we are not comfortable stepping out of our comfort zone. We do not like facing the unknown. So we rather make the decision to stay where we are at because it serves our self-esteem. Because if I step out of my comfort zone, I might be exposed to a place where I'm outside of my comfort zone. And we don't like that. And according to the researchers, there's a few aspects other than that primarily being the reason that we hesitate. The top 10 reasons listed are fear. I don't know if that sounds familiar. Overanalysis, lack of confidence, doubt, being too comfortable. I suppose that speaks to the first reason, the primary reason. Feeling overwhelmed. I think that's one that we most can identify with as well. You're called up to the stage to come and say something, even when you are called to receive an award where you are being recognized. Your self-esteem is being given a platform to be blown up. And then you're called to the stage to come and receive your award and say something. And then you're like, no, I'm not going to say anything. So even when your self-esteem gets the platform to be blown up, you're still concerned about your self-esteem by not wanting to say something. I don't know how many of you can identify with it, but some people might not think it, but I sure can. I always think as you walk up to the stage and you think, oh man, they called me, now they want me to say something. This is all, you know, internal fun taking place in your mind. In my mind, when I woke up, I was like, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the right thing? If I say something, is it going to speak to the people? Will they understand what I say? Oh, am I not going to make an idiot of myself? All those things happen. And then there's butterflies and all that. But the minute you start speaking, then all of that just goes away. It just goes away. So it's quite clear. It's a process of overanalysis and self-critique. And we don't even need an enemy because many a day we like, oh, the enemy is so, you know, he's so destructive. He just came and he messed up my mind. No, it wasn't the enemy. It was you. It's you yourself that does that. And sometimes it's because we've never been required to make a decision. And also too many opinions, not enough information. Oh, I think the baby we all have. Is a baby called stubbornness. Sometimes we hesitate because we are just stubborn. Even though we know this environment is, you know, catering for us to look after our well-being, and nobody's going to expose us, nobody's going to reveal our nudity. They all want me to succeed. And even if I say something wrong, this is the environment of my family, my spiritual family. If I do something wrong, they're still going to encourage me. But still, then I don't want to say something because I'm just stubborn. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Don't you see that I don't like this? It's all about me. Do you know the unholy trinity? The unholy trinity is called me, myself, and I. When me, myself, and I make a decision, it's always not good for you when me, myself, and I speaks. But be that as it may, what many of those factors, those 10 factors that I've listed now, what many of those 10 factors are birth, is many a day, sometimes we get to the place where we eventually say, yes, I will do it. Eventually, yes, I will do it. When Jesus Christ was walking with his disciples, he called them to service. They immediately left what they were doing and they followed him. They obeyed. If I tell my son, go pick up that bottle and go put it on the table on the side, and he's watching a movie or he's playing PlayStation, and he says, just when this game is done, Dad, and he does it 15 or 20 minutes later, he does it, but he had a delayed obedience. Now, something that I didn't like, and I've read a lot of the writings of someone, I don't know, maybe you know him, maybe you don't, a person called Rick Warren. I happen to read quite a bit about him. He's someone whose opinion I respect in the kingdom of God. And Rick Warren has the opinion, which I believe, is that delayed obedience is disobedience. When Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, they left immediately what they were doing and they followed him. They obeyed. And when Christ was teaching as he was walking the earth, as he was teaching through parables and all of that, he taught his disciples and said, go follow my commandments. And I used to think it was just the commandments that Christ had spoken about. Yes, it was that. It included that. But it also included, go teach what I taught and also go teach to obey. Because faith is walked out in obedience. Faith is walked out when we obey, when we follow the instruction of God, when we follow the instruction of those placed above us, placed in authority over us. That is obedience. When we act in faith, we obey. And faith is so much easier when we obey, because if we don't obey, then faith comes through sacrifice. And I think it was also over the weekend of the retreat where I think it either Bobby Connor or Artie spoke about, it's so much easier to be obedient than to sacrifice. Because sacrifice many a day comes with pain. And then we say, oh, the Lord stretched me. Maybe the Lord is stretching you and he's taking you through an uncomfortable journey because you didn't obey when he asked of you to do something that he wanted to get to you without pain. And now because you couldn't listen, so you've got to go through the pain. Maybe not you, but me, I've felt that pain on occasion. And when we delay obedience, which is disobedience, it is much as the same as not listening. Because many a day obedience is required when we are given an instruction. The reason why obedience is required because that instruction serves a purpose to a certain moment, to a certain environment, to a certain situation. And if I do it later, I might not be in tune with that situation and moment anymore. It might still serve good. And thank you, Lord, for his grace and mercy that sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't anymore. Sometimes it's not as effective because I hesitated. Hesitation sounds like something that is a reasonable thing, but we've also heard now, one of the main reasons why we hesitate is because we have got a lack of information. Maybe because I don't understand God's purpose in my life, I hesitate. Maybe I don't understand the teachings of his word, I hesitate. Maybe I don't understand my purpose and my call, I hesitate. Maybe it's because I don't understand the culture of the house, I hesitate. Maybe it's because I don't understand my brother in relationship. I don't understand his heart. I hesitate. So the reason why we hesitate is because of lack. Lack of either knowing, lack of experience, lack of relationship, lack of believing, lack of faith, lack of understanding. And what does the word say about lack? Oh man, the word says a lot this morning. The word says, my people will perish because of a lack of knowledge. So I know that I don't want to perish because of a lack of knowledge. One of the ways, I hope I'm right. One of the ways I believe in my life that God speaks to me in a situation is the first thing that comes to mind. And I praise God that my family and I had a nice holiday now in Vietnam with my brother and his family. And we had a great time. And the one morning I got up and the wives wanted to hang around, lays around at the pool and whatever. And I said to my brother, let's just go for a walk. And we walked in between the streets there in Vietnam and whatever. And I don't know why we wanted to actually go have a meal across the road. But somehow we took the scenic route and we walked, I think, like 3 blocks in and we turned. And I don't know why. And at the time, I didn't know why. But lo and behold, it was the Holy Spirit that led us to walk that route. I said to him, I just wanted to chat. I want to catch up and let's just chat about things that we don't talk, you know, about in front of the woman. Not gossiping, but, you know, sometimes boys want to talk boy talk, same like girls want to have girl talk. So as we're walking and we take the corner to turn back to the restaurant where we actually want to end up at, an accident happens just about 50 meters away from us. Two motorbikes collide into each other and they collide into a stationary bus. And there's a man and a lady lying on the floor. And there's people standing there and they're watching. Now, it's not always good for me, but my wife says it's not always good for me, but I don't think so. I think it's always good for me. And maybe it's just God's mercy that makes it good for me. Whenever something happens, my first response is I run at the problem. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe it's part of my background, my military training, that whenever something happens, I respond to the problem. I never run away. I never freeze. I always run to the problem. And whilst I'm running, or sometimes after I got there, then I think, what am I going to do? I just run to it. It's just how I'm built. So as I'm running to the situation, I'm thinking, I'm assessing as I'm running to where the people are lying in the street. And I'm thinking, why aren't these people responding? There's people standing around. There's people that got out of the bus and people coming out of a hotel and whatever. And nobody's responding. And when I got to the lady and I got so annoyed as I got there, that's my downfall. I suppose that's when I show I'm not Christ, you know, and I'm still in practice. And Lord, please help me that I can get there. But I got angry as I got closer because I realized the motorbike was lying on the lady's leg and the exhaust was against a leg. But luckily she had her jeans on. And when I got there, I picked up the scooter, not a motorbike. I picked up the scooter and I just flung it one side. I got it to her feet and the people started getting involved and they started picking up the other guy and taking him one side. And in that situation, we can't speak Vietnamese. Not me, neither my brother. We don't understand. Nobody understands us. We're two tall black men amongst a lot of small Vietnamese people there. And now everybody's like, you know, yelling, and I tell them to shut up. Because they're yelling and they're not doing anything. And I tell them, shut up. I suppose that's an international terminology that everybody understands. They understood. They took, they obeyed the command and they were quiet. And as they were quiet, I took the lady and I put her on the side of the road and I realized the leg was hurt and a hip was hurt. I couldn't do much about a hip because I'm not a doctor. And obviously, I also don't want to expose her and you know, make her feel as if I don't care about her. So I took care of her hand. And as I was there, I realized she was shaking so much. And there was a, you know, not a real shop. It's you know, it's a makeshift shop that's on the corner that was there. And I said to my brother, just go get a Coke or a Fanta, something sweet, so we can just calm her nerves a bit because sugar helps for calming your nerves. It settles you. And just go get that. And as I'm taking care of her, he ran towards there, and I had my bag with me, my man bag. So my man bag served a purpose. I had wet wipes in there, and I had other tissues in there, and I was able to clean the wounds on her feet. Feet was badly hurt. One foot was badly hurt, and a hand and an arm. As I was cleaning the wounds, my brother came back with disinfectant, wound disinfectant. Now, People, you know, the store that I'm talking about has got less capacity than the guy downstairs selling the newspapers and the water bottles and the tea. It's got less capacity. That place just sells food that is prepared elsewhere. They have got a stall on the corner where they've got a few chairs and tables and they serve food. And the only thing they have is a fridge where they've got some coolings and water in. And then they've got one stand with cigarettes in it. And lo and behold, wound disinfectant. Now, in my view, in my story, because this is my story, that was the Holy Spirit. How on earth does that store hold on its shelf wound disinfectant? It was the only one on the shelf. So my brother, the lady immediately put two and two together that my brother's there to buy something for the people that we're taking care of in the accident. And she offered the wound disinfectant, which was in a box sealed. My brother brought it, and we could take care of this lady's wounds on her arms and legs and whatever. And the gentleman that knocked into her with the other bike was becoming mean. And he was actually verbally attacking her and verbally abusing her. And to such an extent, at one stage, I needed to intervene. And I grabbed him, and I took him to the one side of the road. And when he came back, the second time, I threw him on the other side of the road. And I told him not to come back. Now, I don't want to display or explain my bravado by moving that guy aside. And my brother and I were able to wait there until that guy wanted to ride off in the sunset. And he did test his motorbike and he came back. But then he came there and we could see he's watching over this lady. So as to say that if she moves, he's going to do something to her. I said to my brother, we can't afford to get involved in a fight. Just agree with me. My brother's also a son of God. He also believes in Christ, and he actually is the evangelist of their church back in South Africa. And I said, let's just agree that that guy's motorbike is not going to work. We agreed. We didn't even discuss it. But we agreed that motorbike is not going to work. And we declared it and whatever. And after we took care of this lady, and then she started speaking, she spoke English. And I suppose when she got to she settled down, she said, thank you for helping me. Thank you for not being from here, in broken English, but thank you for not being from here, and thank you for still caring. As we were taking care of this lady, and when she was saying that, we realized that none of the local people attempted to help her, to interpret or to say whatever. And we put her back on a scooter. I checked that the scooter was working and that. I packed the stuff in under a seat where there's a storage. And then she rode off into the sunset thanking us. And we just blessed her. And we prayed over her. And she was so appreciative of that. And when this gentleman really had bad intention. He wanted to follow her. And his motorbike didn't start. It's after he test drove it. And it didn't start. So the lesson is not to speak over someone's motorbike not to work. The lesson is when the situation came, we could have hesitated. We could have taken longer. We could have been disobedient. We could have said, we are not from here. We could have said, we're different. We won't be able to understand the people. They won't be able to understand us. Let's not do anything. And then that lady could have gotten so much harm. The guy was physically bigger than everybody else around there. And luckily, he wasn't bigger than me. And even if he was bigger than me, I was not afraid. And so the lesson is not to hesitate. If we hesitated, that lady could have had a much worse experience. She left there and she said, thank you. And she asked us where we were from and said, thank you for the people of your country. She thanked us for the people of our country. We just helped her. Thank you for the people of my country. I'm thinking like my country gets praise even. When we don't hesitate, even your country can get praise. When you do what you are instructed to do, even the people that had nothing to do with that situation can get praised. They can be blessed. Your nation can get blessed. Your community can get blessed. Your entire family can get blessed when you do what is asked of you to do. I'm not saying I'm a saint. I'm just saying that I didn't hesitate in that moment. And thank you, Lord, that it spoke to my being of responding to a situation as opposed to running from it. 15 minutes later on our walk to the restaurant, as we're walking now to the restaurant, we are very pleased with ourselves and I'm thanking the Lord and we're walking and we're praising the Lord like that we could have helped in that situation. We're just thinking what could have been. We get to an intersection. I don't know how many of you knows Vietnam, but there's not many traffic lights in Vietnam. And we got to an intersection, a huge intersection. In the middle of the intersection is a circle. There's a boy about 5, 6 years old. He's in the middle of that intersection with a soccer ball. And he wants to cross the road. And that road is so busy. So busy. And again, me being me, I just dart off and I'm through the traffic. And I'm trying to find out from this boy. And he's like intimidated by this tall black man who can't speak his language. And there's no proper communication taking place. And I ask him, Mama, Papa. And then he starts showing in the direction. And I said to him, I'm going to take you. And he didn't want to. And I picked him up. And I took him across the road. And his mama and papa was actually working at one of the shops further down the road. He was playing with a soccer ball. The ball rolled. And he ended up in the middle of that intersection. So we got to the restaurant. And I realized something that, you know what? God sometimes tests our faith. He tests us. He tests our obedience because he wants us to be faithful. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to achieve. So he doesn't want us to hesitate. So sometimes he gives us small instructions, small little things to do so that we can build our obedience, so we can do something without hesitating. So I believe that that day, that morning, God needed me to grow my obedience. That's the only reason why I was at that place. Yes, sure, for the well-being of those two, for that lady and for that young boy as well. But God, I believe there was something in it for me because God is a God of all good. If there's a situation where he wants me to help Ernie, surely there's something I'm going to get out of that situation. I'm going to be taught a lesson or whatever, or principle is going to be embedded in my heart. So that morning, I believe God needed me to be there so I could grow my obedience so that I can realize next time when he gives me an instruction, not to hesitate. So then I can be faithful without sacrifice. So I can then execute the task that he gives to me. Because I keep praying, Lord, give me tasks to do. And if we don't, if we're not obedient in a small task, if we are hesitant in a small task, I promise you, the bigger task is not going to come. Because that you first need to pass the test of that smaller task. That's just how it is. And when we hesitate and when we say no, we are merely but postponing. And as Christians, I mean, we don't think that we are disobedient when we delay what the Lord is talking to us. And sometimes there's lots of situations where we can delay. We can afford to delay where the Lord says, Jason, I need for you to stop the job that you are doing now, and I need for you to become a missionary. Many a day, there is not a simple one moment, one situation, decision, and it's over. Because we belong to families, we've got wives and kids, we need to discuss that with our families, and we need to walk through their journey. And Father understands that when something is so big and challenging towards us. I'm not saying just rush into situations and just do crazily things. But sometimes we get into a situation where we walk into an elevator and the Lord says to you, sir, the Lord doesn't say because you don't realize it's the Lord. You get this feeling in your heart. How about if I speak to these people, I say good morning to them and ask them how their day is? And you think, nah, I'm not going to do it. You know, people in Hong Kong don't do that. Then you don't do it. You might have missed an opportunity to bless someone's morning, to make them realize it's good to be alive. You might have saved someone's life by just giving them the smile on your face and by being chirpy and telling them that, and you bless them. Because the minute we open our mouths, more and more comes out of it because more is birthed because God saw your obedience, your willingness to speak, and then he places more words in your heart and in your mouth. And then you could have inspired someone. You could have saved someone who was maybe on their way to go and commit suicide. I'm not saying everybody's suicidal. But that just could be it. And then because we hesitate, then we say no. And then that person could not be inspired. Then God needs someone else along the way to be obedient to save that person's life. Because it's not just me. It's not just you. The kingdom of God doesn't depend just on us. He's got an entire world that he can use. But then it requires another person to be obedient, where it could have been easier if you just had done it, what you needed to do in that situation. So let us get more information. And how do we get more information? The lack of knowledge that I spoke about earlier. Lack of understanding, over-analysis. Lack of understanding of the word. God's purpose for God's heart for my life. The call in my life. Let's get to understand those things. Those things are important. We need to understand the language that God uses when he speaks to you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to Sandeep, he uses a certain language because he's got an established relationship, how he speaks to Sandeep. If Sandeep doesn't understand that language, Sandeep can't be obedient because he's going to think it was just a crazy thought I had. God speaks in a certain language to you, and you know that language that he speaks to you. And if you don't know that language, I want to urge you and encourage you, get to understand the language and the frequency that God speaks to you. Because if God speaks to you in a certain way and you don't understand it, you're going to always find yourself in a situation without even knowing, by being hesitant and disobedient. And again, my people will perish due to a lack of knowledge. Don't allow yourself to perish. Get to understand how God speaks, what he speaks, and when he speaks, so that you can have the ability to exercise obedience. Because obedience will grow your faith. And that's my message for this morning. I hope and I trust that it inspires your heart to become a little bit more obedient. And sometimes we speak in Christianese. Do you all know what Christianese is? Christianese is a language that Christians speak to qualify themselves and things that they do. We use Christian expressions and saying, God is on a journey with me. He wants to encourage me to do something. This morning he asked me to speak to a stranger. I didn't, but I'm getting there. No. That's not a journey with you. God gave you an instruction. You disobeyed. That's what it is. So let's get out of our comfort zones and away from speaking Christianese and start obeying the word of God, which is in our lives every day, all the time.
the night is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Considering that we spoke about obedience today, about the fact that we shouldn't hesitate when we hear the voice of the Lord, we've got a big community, brethren, whose names are on this list, who have ailments, suffer from various diseases, and I don't know what to call them. Let's try to be obedient, because I'm sure, because we love these people and we've got a relationship with them. When God speaks to us in our heart, when God mentions or drops the thought of one of the people on this list, God is in a polite way asking us of us to pray over them. When God drops the thought of someone we haven't seen for many a day, and then we wonder, why am I thinking of that person? Before you wonder why you think, be obedient and pray over that person. Because God, as we just sang the song now, is so good. He drops that thought in our heart and in our minds so that we can say something. We can bring life over that person, because life is in our tongue. Life and death lies in our tongue, and we need to speak it. And that blessing is not a blessing unless it's spoken. So when that thought comes of all the people here on the list, as we speak this morning, Lord, we call on your healing power for life over all of these people on this list here suffering from cancer. We speak life over them, Father God. Life into their situation, life into their hearts, life into their thinking patterns, Father God. Life, Father God Almighty, in their spirit, Father God. Encouragement in their spirit, Father God. And we speak against the ailment, Father God. We call it to an end, Father God. We call it done. That ailment that they've got, the cancer that they've got, we speak it done, Father God, in your name, Jesus Christ. We speak it done. Father God, we speak it done. To an end with cancer hurting our body, Father God. To an end with cancer hurting our body, Father God. We speak it done. Finished, Father God. Christ, when you were on the cross, you said, it is finished. Father God, it is finished. In Jesus' name, we speak it done. We call it to an end. We call it to an end, Father God Almighty. To an end in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's just lift up the Lord's name and let's pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are able to come into a situation and bring life and bring life and bring life. So Father God, we also think about the people in our community this morning with illnesses and needing salvation, Father God, not just themselves, but their families as well, Father God. We bring them to the altar, Father God. We bring them and we place them at your feet. We place them at your feet, Father God. We place them at your feet. Also think about people suffering with infirmities. And we also speak for life into the job situation of our brethren, Calvin, David, and Conrad. We just speak that, Father God Almighty, we speak this morning that you, Father God, you are in control, Father God. We submit to you so that you are in control, Father God. And Father God Almighty, we just speak that it's the doors that you intend for these gentlemen to open, Father God, that will open. We speak, Father God Almighty, that situations not coming from you, Father God, will come to them, Father God, and they will have the awareness and discernment to know that it's not of you, Father God. But Father, we speak for an heightened discernment, Father God. When you speak, when you open a door, Father God, for them to know that and when it's you, Father God. We speak, Father God Almighty, for those who's got the jobs for these three gentlemen, Father God, to come into obedience right now in Jesus' name and make available those positions for them, Father God. We speak life into their lives, Father God, but we also speak joy over them, Father God. Father God, I speak that the body around them, Father God, can notice if there's lack around them, Father God, so that we, the body, Father God, their brethren, Father God, we can assist them, Father God, without any judgment, Lord God Almighty. We speak blessing over them. We speak for joy to be in their hearts, Father God. We speak for them to still know who they are, Father God. We speak for them, Father God, to always listen to your still small voice, Father God Almighty. We speak, Father God Almighty, for them to be remarkable individuals where they're going to walk into the jobs where they're going into, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, right now for the jobs that's to come into their lives in Jesus' name. Let's also focus some time on our mission focus with regards to North Korea and the mission opportunities in Asia. And we also think about the persecuted churches in the Middle East especially. Father God, we want to thank you for what has already happened in India and Southeast Asia, Father God, for how you are already bringing change, Father God. We know there's still so much that needs to be done, Father, but we want to thank you for the things that you've already that you already did, Father God Almighty. We praise your name, Father God. Our opportunities are just becoming more and more, Father God. Our doors are just opening more and more. Our there's more and more place for your word to be spread, Father God, for missionaries to go out, Father God, and to be received. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the open doors in China, Father God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the opening doors in North Korea, Father God. Thank you, Father God Almighty, that there's a true change coming around here in Southeast Asia, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great thing, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that you've got faith in people, even though we don't have faith in ourselves, Father God Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us before we chose you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, as much as we see people doing wrong, Father God, you're looking at them through the lens with a perfect 10 on their heads, Father God. Thank you for the perfect people in China. Thank you for the perfect people in North Korea, Father God Almighty. Thank you for the perfect hearts and softened hearts in Japan, Father God Almighty. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that we can celebrate small victories, Father God, and it'll just lead to more and more and more as your kingdom is growing in this Southeast Asian region, Lord. Let's also think about the SB weekend gatherings, the house churches, the prison outreach, the drug hab, Sunday service, Noah's Ark. Think about the worship and hospitality. And let's just pray for God to work in a unique way with each and every situation, with each and every platform. And Father God, we call for you to be, we know that you are unique, Father God. We also know that you are omnipresent and omnipotent, Father God. We know that you are a great and a good, good God. Father God, we speak that the originality and the authenticity, Father God, of your spirit is within all of our gatherings, Father God. And as we go out, Father God, to touch lives, to touch the lives of people, Father God Almighty, to show them what you look like, Father God, so that we can start mimicking Christ Jesus to become like you, to become like him. Father God Almighty, we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit just inspires us, that it be your Holy Spirit that's the fire in the bellies of the sons of this household, Father God. Wherever they go, to share your name, to share your word, in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. And we also think about our missions that's taking place in Shanti on 16 to 21 of July, and that missionary trip to Kyoto, 21st July to the 27th. Father God, our brethren that's traveling on this missionary trips, Father God, we want to choose this morning, Father God, to be obedient as you've placed the thought in our hearts, Father God, and if it's been placed on a list even, Father God, so we don't even have to think about it. But we want to come into agreement, Father God Almighty, with the intent of their missions as they are going and setting out, Father God, to spread your word. We stand in agreement, Father God Almighty, with the word that they want to spread, Father God. We stand in agreement, Father God, with the objectives that which they want to achieve, Father God. We speak life into them, Father God. We speak your spirit to encourage them, Father God. We speak, Father God Almighty, that in spirit we are here now, Father God. And as we pray, Father God, we elevate their hands, Father God, holding it aloft, Father God, as they serve the people, Father God. We speak for softened hearts, Father God. We speak, Father God, for people with willing ears to come sit and listen, Father God. For you say that faith comes by hearing the word of God, Father God Almighty. And the hearing, Father God Almighty, is also brought about by those who want to hear, listen, and listen to your word, Father God. So we speak for softened hearts, Father God. We speak, Father God, for pliable hearts, Father God. If their hearts are stone, Father God, Holy Spirit, we speak and we call upon you to just go into the hearts of the people and give them hearts of flesh. We call upon you, Holy Spirit, to soften them in such a way that whatever the word they receive, they might not think they're capable of understanding it, Father God. But Holy Spirit, you can make it understandable in their hearts and their minds. We speak, Father God Almighty, for what they are being served, Father God, to be transformative in their lives, Father God. May, Father God, the places where our brethren are going to share your word never be the same again because they have brought your word, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for their courage. We thank you for their willingness. We thank you for them saying yes, Father God. We thank you for them being obedient, Father God. And we speak, Father God Almighty, that it be an encouragement to our hearts as well to be obedient in Jesus' mighty name. You are welcome to sit and enjoy the presence of the Lord and continue praying. Thank you very much.